Bill Gothrop. Sorry, Brian Gothrop.
Here.
Bill Goggins. Laura Hine.
Here.
John Kapler.
Here.
Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Elsie Weber. Rick Whitney.
Here. Well, let's see. What do we got for a... Oh! Normally I announce the agenda, but before we even announce the agenda tonight, we have to get a chair and a vice chair.
Yes.
So, I guess... Anybody want to be chair?
I would like to nominate Rick Whitney as chair.
I second.
Are you guys sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I enjoy being the chair, but I also don't want to deny other people. I talked to John about trying to be chair, and he said no, and then I thought, well, maybe somebody else wants to step up, and if you don't, then I consider it an honor and a privilege, and I will try not to be late again. But if you guys want me to serve, I'll be glad to do it.
We do.
Okay.
Those of us here.
Do we need to have a vote?
Do we need to have a vote? We need to have a vote.
Are there any other nominations?
Do you have to say it three times, like in some
any way? Other nominations? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of... Rick Whitney for chair. Signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Thank you. Yes, Betsy. We do need a vice chair.
Do you entertain nominations for vice chair?
I do entertain nominations for vice chair.
I would like to nominate John Kapler as vice chair.
Yeah. I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Are there any other nominations for vice chair? Any other nominations for vice chair? Any other nominations for vice chair? Tough crowd. All right. We'll close the nominations. All in favor of John Kapler for vice chair, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it's unanimous. Now we can get on with business. So for tonight's agenda, we have added an item under new business for the Section 8 ordinance that the city's considering. And that will come after we have a reading of our minutes, council member reports, a work program review. We have requests from audience after that, and then we go into some unfinished business on the city comp plan amendments for 2012 and final approval of the non-conforming density ordinance. And after that, we will add our Section 8 ordinance under new business. And then finish off with administrative reports. Any other additions or corrections to that agenda?
Mr. Chair, I would like to ask if we can, under new business, add a quick discussion on a field trip with the East Bellevue Community Council. And I will talk about this in my reports, but the East Bellevue Community Council has requested a tour of the Houghton jurisdiction boundaries to compare it with some of the dealings that they're dealing with land use wise, and it's a 2-minute discussion probably, but I think everybody needs to participate, so it probably should be added to the agenda.
All right, anybody have any objections to adding that to the agenda under new business? Okay, we'll do that. Betsy?
Well, I did want to have the discussion about the park and ride traffic.
The pedestrian. And I think that Nancy had requested that we just cover that under council member reports. Is that okay?
Yeah, I didn't see that. Okay. Yes.
So,
agenda.
Okay, good. So, with that, that's our agenda. We have minutes to approve. I would entertain a motion to dispense with reading of the minutes.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Good. No reading. Anybody have any additions or corrections for the November 8th, 2012 minutes? I wasn't present for that meeting, so I can't offer any.
Chair, is it possible to ask a question?
No.
Okay.
Any
it's fast.
Additions or corrections? No?
None that I could see.
Someone like to move for approval?
So moved.
Second? Anyone?
I'll second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the November 8th meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motions are approved. Our minutes are approved. November 12th minutes.
I don't have those.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
November 12th?
Any additions or corrections?
November 26th.
November 26th?
You mean November 26th?
I have September 13th.
I'm looking, pardon. You know,
2012.
Oh, yeah, I'm going from the agenda, and that was where I went awry, is the agenda lists them in November 8th, November 12th, November 26th.
That should be.
But we actually have September 13th, mm-hmm. November 8th, yeah. And November 26th. So let's go to the September 13th minutes. Any additions or corrections?
I abstain because I was not present.
Okay.
And I'll move to approve.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good. Those minutes are approved. Finally, the November 26 minutes. Any additions or corrections?
I move to approve.
Okay.
November 26th.
We have a motion to approve the November 26th minutes as written. Do you have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good. We're all good. Let's go to council member reports and comments. Betsy, you want to talk about your sidewalk concerns?
Eric, did you get that email?
Yes, I did. And I've talked with David Godfrey today, and he confirmed that he has ordered pedestrian flags to be put there, and he hadn't heard back from the guy who I think is kind of a pedestrian or a volunteer coordinator, the ped flag coordinator does that in part time. He hadn't heard back as to the timing, but that is in process.
Okay, thank you very much. It's really crazy.
Flag's going to take care of it?
No, flags aren't going to take care of it. There is now a little sidewalk, a little gravel sidewalk. Did you guys do that?
Yeah, I think we might have required the applicant to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's on the side of the street that they still have to cross at that intersection. You know, it'd almost be better maybe to have it down.
Yeah.
Where they get off the buses and come out, and then they can come up on the other side. But there's really not room, I think, for a sidewalk on that side because of that. So anyway, it'll do something, but it's really dangerous. I mean, people are walking between two buses. You know. Yeah. And everybody's turning left and right, and it's very confusing. So, all right, thank you. I'll take that back and let people know that there will be flags.
If you don't see it happen soon, you know, nag David.
Okay.
Feel free to nag.
When in doubt, nag. Huh? Okay. Any other council member reports?
Since we're talking about emails and stuff in there, I was just noticing there was an email that Nancy passed on to us that she'd also replied to regarding an issue between a resident on 52nd who had inquired about view regulations. And there's a remodel going on that's sort of filling out a footprint, but it's all within.
They were 3 feet below the height limit.
And it was a little confusing because I looked and the addresses that were given didn't comport with what I think is actually going on there. But it was, I think that's been resolved. I don't think there's anything that we need to do about that. But
yeah.
I just thought it might be something worth acknowledging that we had.
Yeah.
Receive that.
We do care.
Yes, we do.
Okay. John, you want to comment on?
I was approached by a citizen at an event the other day asking about tree ordinances and some question they had about trees, and I gave her my phone number and address and told her to get in touch with me and let me know the particulars, and I haven't heard back, so if there's something, I'll send it out in email to folks before the next meeting.
But okay.
Something going on in the neighborhood I don't know about.
Excellent. Any other council member reports? John?
I have two, both regarding the East Bellevue Community Council. Number one, the East Bellevue Community Council area is going through their sort of neighborhood update plan, much like City of Kirkland constantly does. My office building happens to be in that area, so I've been invited to go and went to the kickoff presentation at the East Bellevue Community Council's council meeting right after the first of the year, maybe 2 weeks ago. And they're kicking that off this week, and we'll get started. So I'll report back. I believe that the planners at City of Bellevue have chatted with you, Eric, about some of the procedures that Bellevue has, or that Kirkland has gone through that maybe help them with their suggestions.
I don't recall having a conversation okay. with anyone on that.
But yeah,
that
I spoke with Paul. so many names. Yeah. And mentioned that you were the one shepherding and gathering up all the ideas to help improve your all's process to help
the development services review you're talking right. about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe they'll give you a call.
And yeah.
Maybe not.
Okay.
Okay. The second item is East Bellevue Community Council had a tour of their area that they went on collectively as a group, and they had asked a few people in the community to go. I was fortunate enough to be one of those people in the community as a business owner and property owner in that area. They had the newspaper go along with them, and they talked about some of the areas that were important that they were dealing with. The dog park, the little school that's being annexed, the old airport that's now a park, I forget the name of it, and some of the long-range planning that they're doing. And it was very, very interesting. During that trip, everybody on the council asked me about some of the items that are within our jurisdiction that were hot topics. The only one they knew about just through osmosis was the TOD, because that's the only one that got any traction in the newspaper for them to understand it all. They were very curious about our neighborhood planning process because they're beginning that. They've got, their neighborhoods are a little different. They're broken down into three big clumps and like 120 neighborhoods, the smallest one being like 10 homes. It's quite different than ours is. So I said that I would chat with you all about that. That's what the new business is about. Okay, that's my report.
Any other council member reports, comments? I want to throw out one thing, and that is that I have had some email exchanges with Toby Nixon over the last couple, two or three weeks about trying to promote a city dialogue regarding the vote for the continuation of the Houghton Community Council this fall. And I said I'd like to get started on that process and try to put together people both pro and con, get it out in Kirkland Views, get maybe have a community forum, get it out there and have a real good opportunity for people to understand the issues, both pro and con, for the continuation of the council. Toby asked me who I thought would be good people to be in, like on an organizing committee, and I said, well, anybody on our council I thought would be good, and so I threw all of us out there and mentioned other people who have been actively involved, like Karen Levinson and Susan Thorns, and I said, certainly on the other side, the people who testified against us at the legislature, you know, I named several people. And so I said, let's just try to get something going and not wait until the election and then, you know, have some excuse for why we didn't really have a good public discussion of this topic. So that's something that I'm trying to engender. And if we get to the point where we actually have an organizing committee, I'm hoping that we'll get at least two or three reps out of the council to be involved in that process. That's just an FYI. So with that, work program review.
Included in the agenda was update on Joint Select Committee on Junior Taxing Districts. Is that?
That was what John provided.
That was just what that was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure that was.
Well, I presume we all are aware that the outcome of that was that the committee rejected.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I just didn't know if there was anything new with the legislative session, if there was actually
We're not aware of anything that wouldn't surprise me. I'll say one other thing, just as an aside. I went down for the polar bear bash, or whatever the hell it is, the polar bear plunge on New Year's Day. And lo and behold, there was Larry Springer and Penny. They were kind of one of the key people. They were passing out hot chocolate and stuff. And so I went in and did my plunge and then came out and had an opportunity to talk just on a casual basis with Larry, and he said the probability is low that he's going to introduce something, but he said, I'm not going to rule it out, but he said, there's a lot greater issues that I need to be focusing on than you know, this, and he said, I didn't, you know, the committee didn't, you know, support him trying to take some action, so he said, He didn't say that he wasn't going to do it, but he said it was not a likely thing that he was going to do. And I said, Larry, let's work on just what I said, this forum. Let's really try to get it out there and make sure that the people are making an informed decision, and do your best to try to get people to explain why you don't think we should be there. And if you can get the support, great, you know.
Why don't we just let it die?
Nah, I think it's better. I think it would be healthy to have an election that is really, that it's out there and people are fully informed, and you get a representative vote on it. Because Larry's contention is that you're never going to vote it out because it's a self-interest thing. And I contend that if people really, really believe that, you know, people are concerned about cost of government and overregulation and everything else, and I said, it's, you know, get it out there and explain what your rationale is for it, and maybe you can win the day. But let's get it out in the arena of ideas and let the public be making an informed decision. So,
well, it's a great way to publicize the Houghton Community Council.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why not?
Okay, so enough of that. Let's move on to work program review.
Yeah, so not a lot here to say except that we are, we've been talking with the Planning Commission about the planning work program for 2013 and 2014, really. And we will be, the Planning Commission and City Council will be having a joint study on that on February 19th at the study session of the City Council. The main item on the work program is to begin the update of the comprehensive plan, the major two-year update, which we'll start shortly. And then that will take us, where our goal is to get that adopted by 2014. The state deadline is mid-2015, but we hope to finish it by the end of 2014. The City Council is having a retreat on February 8th, and that is one of the topics of the retreat, is the comp plan update. So Paul has prepared a fairly lengthy little briefing paper for them as to kind of issues and da-da-da-da-da. So once that kind of settles out, we'll be back and start talking to you about how we're going to move through the process. We're thinking that one of the first events we should have, though, is a very public involvement in reviewing and, if necessary, updating our vision statement for the city, kind of as we do with the neighborhood plans, but really to start that and then have that I guess, endorsed ultimately by the City Council, so that it becomes the foundation for everything we do from there on out. So we
makes
are
sense.
Also beginning work through our GIS department on evaluating our capacity, so to speak. We call it capacity for redevelopment in the city. In other words, where there is land that is zoned for higher densities and is likely to redevelop because it has a very low improvement on the property right now. So we're going to go through that probably by the end of March, early April. We hope to have a draft of that. That will help kind of be a status report as to where we think the development activity could occur under our current zoning in the next 20 years. And then we'll figure out what that tells us and move forward.
Okay.
So that's basically it.
For the vision, that's a huge, huge thing, and normally that's not updated every 2 years. So is the update for the vision because of the annexation?
Well, that's one of the reasons, but this is our once per 8 year major update of the comprehensive plan.
Oh, this is the big one.
So this is the big one. Yeah, okay. I failed to mention that, but this is, you know, so this is our chance to step back. We're supposed to renew our plan for the next 20 years. So
yeah.
The legislature keeps changing this sequence of how we update the plan, but the, like maybe a year or two ago, they changed it to every eight year update. So that's the schedule we're on right now.
Okay, thank you.
Eric, is there any thing that's in the plan for this coming year on the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center, to your knowledge?
No. The idea would be to let's get the big comp plan done and be thinking about that. I think likely in terms of growth, our business districts are probably where there would be some fairly major emphasis over the 20-year period. So we'll have to be thinking about that as we start to put together the broader policies, but nothing specific on that.
Okay. Any other questions? John?
Eric, before the Christmas holiday, the Planning Commission was going to have their retreat. Mike mentioned that they were going to discuss some big items and whether or not the Planning Commission would take those up for discussion this year, like FAR, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Do you know where that discussion ended up?
I do. Included in the work program are three groups of zoning code amendments. One, Jeremy will be working on, which is kind of a follow-up on the commercial codes, kind of phase two. There were some loose ends that we didn't get to last time. Another package is what we call process 4A, and I don't know if you remember this, but that's hate to use the term fast track because it never goes that fast, but it's where non-major policy issues that the Planning Commission will not be involved with. There's probably 12 or 15 small zoning code amendments that will be on that. Houghton Community Council still has disapproval jurisdiction of that, so we will brief you on that as soon as we get the schedule going. And then there will be a package of miscellaneous code amendments, among which was the possibility of looking at FAR. And I say the possibility because when the Planning Commission discussed it, Mike Miller brought it up with the rest of the Planning Commission, the decision was made to not include that in that list of code amendments. So,
would that be height as well?
It wasn't height per se. No, it was just, well, they just really talked about FAR, and there's nothing on there that's height.
Okay. Yeah, Mike had just mentioned to me in passing that he wanted to bring up FAR and height as to should they be discussed.
Yeah, I don't recall him mentioning height, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So the short answer is, at this moment in time, that is not on the list of code amendments to be discussed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. This is the opportunity for our audience to address us. Is there anyone in the audience who would care to speak to the council directly? Please indicate your name and address.
My name is Nancy Rising, and I live at 5001 112th Avenue Northeast, and I am in the Houghton Council area. Actually, I came down because I wanted to hear what was being said about the hearing in Olympia, and I was very interested in the discussion about Larry's comments and about Toby Nixon's comments. And if I may make a comparison, it seems to me something like the state of Virginia, having lost the election to the Democrats, is now saying, let's change the rules and have something different for our electoral college. This issue has gone down, I think, is it three times now? And we have had an election, and the election said, yes, continue the Houghton Community Council. And maybe Larry has given up, but as I mentioned to one person, it seems to me it's sort of like Moby Dick and the great white whale is still out there, and by God, he's going to capture it. It sounds as if he has given this over to Toby to fight. I know quite a few people outside the Houghton area, and I have heard no one talk about their great interest in getting rid of the Houghton Community Council. And I would agree with the question asked, if it's dead, why don't we leave it? Why are we, when we have so many things to do in Kirkland, why stir up issues that don't seem to be of any interest to anybody but Larry and Toby and the Houghton Community Council, which has been re-voted in? And so I would hope that you would consider that and let us get on with the things that we need to do. We have, as was just mentioned, planning coming up and looking at comprehensive plans and this sort of thing. And the thought of going out and drumming up support and trying to find people that are opposed to this and then having hearings and stirring up issues that most people don't seem to be very interested in seems to me a waste of time that many people do not have. Thank you very much. If you want to ask me questions, then
I'll come over and talk with you, Nancy. Nancy's my next door neighbor. Not Nancy. The short answer is the short answer, sweetheart, is that there is every 4 years a vote for the continuation of the Houghton Community Council,
right.
And it is coming up this fall. And so every time there is a vote, it is appropriate to have a public discussion on the vote, pros
Rick,
and cons of the
vote.
You
call everybody to testify, sweetheart.
Only you, Nancy. I'll come and talk to you about it. And Toby did not...
I support what she said.
Yeah, I understand you do. And just so you know, Toby, he's not trying to take a position one side or the other at all. Toby is strictly trying to be a facilitator of a public discussion. He's not taking a position.
Well, I had lost track of when the next election was, but since the next election is up to the citizens of Houghton, why is it necessary to involve the whole city?
Or Toby Nixon,
yeah.
It isn't necessary.
Or Larry, who doesn't live in the in Houghton,
okay.
Or Penny.
Point noted. To be continued.
Thank you very much. Okay. And thank you for the participation, not only of you folks, but the people that wrote in to the Olympia legislators,
yes.
Because obviously it made a very big difference.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nancy, we appreciate your support. Thank you.
Yes, we do.
All right. Any other members of the audience who'd care to address us? So with that, we will move on to our city-initiated comp plan amendments. Jeremy, are you presenting this?
I'll present.
Yeah, you don't need to spend a whole heck of a lot of time on it, but you can just give a quick overview.
That's
we
good.
Have already reviewed it.
So the quick overview is you have Resolution 2013-1 to approve the annual comprehensive plan amendments. We broke them down in the package into two different sub-bullets. One, just the general housekeeping amendments.
Are you speaking into the mic?
I am trying to.
You have a green light on?
Green light's on.
There you go. I was afraid you weren't getting recorded, and we want to make sure that you're on record.
I was running out of cord. The first subset was the general amendments Joan brought to you back in November of citywide housekeeping amendments and those within Houghton's jurisdiction.
Yeah.
The second subset was the set I brought you towards the end of the year related to the commercial codes and plan provisions I was working on. The reason I talk about them differently is inadvertently, you did have a public meeting with the Planning Commission as required, but we inadvertently left off that in the description of the public notice. You did not have a public hearing on those amendments. And your call was really just affecting the Super 24 site and whether or not that was a residential market.
Yeah.
So we broke those into two subsets, but if you want to adopt them both, they're in the resolution.
Does anybody have a problem with not having a public hearing on that issue? John, do you?
Before I say I have an issue with it, Jeremy, I need to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
So the first thing, does this really substantially change anything on how it's termed? And the second thing is, are we in violation of any legal process by not having the initial meeting noticed properly that was supposed to be a hearing, which now technically is not?
I'll do that one first. You're not required to have a public hearing. You can elect to have a public hearing on it. It was fully noticed as a public meeting, so there's no issue with the notice for it as a public meeting. And sidebar, the one property owner who's affected by it, at the community council's request, we did specifically invite them to it via a letter. So I think the one person who might have skin in the game in Houghton was aware of that meeting and notified.
On that, just sidebar,
sure.
Real quick, we had a discussion during the meeting that this person was sent a letter and didn't respond. I don't remember if it was Nancy or I don't remember who it was at the meeting, but I made the comment, maybe they didn't get the letter. Was it sent certified mail? Did somebody knock on their door? Somebody called them? Or did all we do is send a mail and a letter and maybe it ended up in the garbage someplace? And I know that might hit the legal threshold of a notice. However, does it meet the sort of polite notice of maybe picking up the phone and say, did you get this? Do you care? Because we're moving forward.
Right. No, it was just a mail to the property owner based on the assessor's office who pays the taxes on it, similar to what we would do in the case of any public notice. So just a letter in the mail with a complete description of what was happening.
It's been a little bit of time. And so can you just briefly give me the soundbite on how is that going to affect the property owner?
The one change within Houghton's jurisdiction on the property is this: we have these things called residential markets in Kirkland, and right now there are only the two. There was the Batala Village site, the site of the proposed Batala Village, and the Super 24. When the Planning Commission and City Council looked at that hierarchy of commercial districts, they said, well, we really think all of our neighborhood business zones, so South Rose Hill, Market Street, and the Batala Village area, those should be residential markets. The Super 24 site, because it's zoned residential, doesn't really fit into that notion that it's primarily a commercial site with mixed use. It's really a residential site that also allows commercial. So just trying to put everything into the right categories. The Lakeview neighborhood plan that was recently amended already addresses that site and what should be there, what the vision for that site is. So we thought you didn't really need the residential market designation over the top of what the Lakeview neighborhood plan was already doing there.
But does it substantially change what he can do to his property?
No. It's still zoned. The zoning is still the same. The allowances for residential use at a medium density are still the same. The allowance for commercial use, if it were to redevelop, is still there, similar to any other RM zone. So it really doesn't affect. It's kind of an obscure reference in the comprehensive plan that we didn't really pay much attention to up until this process.
That's what I was remembering, that it really would not have an impact on his use of the property.
And should he want to develop it, he'd have to go through the same process regardless of leaving the designation as it is now or modifying it as suggested.
Correct. Did I get to your first question in that rambling answer?
I believe you did. Thank you. So I don't know if I'm out of line or not, but maybe a follow-up letter to the person that tried to contact you, and this is what's happened, and this is what it means.
Sure.
I mean, is that out of line?
Nope, we can do that.
I know you can't do that to everybody.
Well, yeah, I would
city,
just say that we don't do that. I would just caution that we can't just keep sending letters back. We don't have the horsepower to keep doing that, so... Jeremy's very nice to say yes, he can do that.
But you really shouldn't, is what you're saying.
I'm saying I would caution if I don't want to set a precedent, an expectation that we're going to be able to do that all the time.
Withdrawn.
That's really what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I appreciate and respect the sentiment that you're wanting to get to, but I caution about being able to do that all the time.
Just because I'm nicer than Eric.
You already knew that.
Any other questions?
I have one question.
Betsy.
Looking, and it's difficult for me to read this map, Keith. On page 81, the Land Use 1 Comprehensive Land Use Map. Now, that has not changed. Has that changed since 2011?
I think the only thing that changed... I'm on my way down towards it. Is that just the general land use, citywide land use map?
Mm-hmm. Yep, the comprehensive land use map.
The only thing that's changed as part of the amendments that I took, none of them in Houghton, but in those neighborhood business commercial areas, so not the Super 24 site, but like the Patala site, South Rose Hill, Market Street, because the council adopted a residential density on it, we put the residential density on the land use map.
Okay. Can I ask you, just because it's so small, I'm noticing that there's the hash marks on some properties, but I don't see in the key what the hash marks mean.
Here, I think I found it here.
Yeah, I think they're the schools.
Like right there.
They do look like schools.
Yeah.
If you can bear with me, I'll go to a full-size version of that and see if I can.
Okay. If it's not on the key, then we may want to make sure it's referenced in the key.
Yeah. Are they no
those
users?
Are like school sites, for example.
Yeah.
A.G. Bell.
Yeah.
Kirkland Junior High, I'm looking at. Those are not in Houghton, but those are school sites.
Yep. I think they are, but I don't think it's referenced in the key. I mean, it's just, it's residential, but the hash mark. So it's just confusing to see the hash mark. And not all, actually not all, actually it's not institutional. That's just the Northwest College part.
I also noticed on page 95 it didn't have the pedestrian overpasses marked, even though there's something in the key. The two, there's one in Houghton and one just north of Houghton. Mm-hmm. One, the 60th. One in Houghton goes into mm-hmm. Bartle Trails. I didn't see that marked.
So now we look
there's
at the
a
maps.
Little.
So maybe you
at can, the top of
bike pedestrian overpass on page 95. There's one at 60th. It's right at that corner.
Oh yeah, there it is.
TR 20-116.
All right. So are we suggesting that we do something to?
Well, not. No. I'm not asking anybody to change anything right now. I'm just saying that maybe on future maps you might want to put in the key what the hash marks mean.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, the other one might be obscured by a number that a little number tag that's over where it would be.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Okay. So I have maybe a couple of more depending on the answer to the first one. When we were in our discussions on some of the maps in one of the joint meetings with the Planning Commission, I know that Andy Held brought up much comment on a couple of maps that were labeled parks and then referenced bicycle lanes and wanted that cleaned up. And I just for the life of me couldn't find any of those maps in here. So they either got cleaned up and disappeared or that was a different packet that I'm recalling.
No, I think it was that. I recall that conversation. I think it probably was the same packet, so maybe it got cleaned up. It was where it was going through parks.
Yeah.
And
then there was some stuff on the Bridal Trails Park that was all mentioned that it's in Bellevue land, not Kirkland land.
Right. That was that. You did bring that up at that meeting, at the hearing.
And I couldn't find any of that in here. So not so maybe it. I looked pretty thoroughly. So it. Since I didn't find it, it must have gotten cleaned up to the point that I didn't notice it. So
on page 91, the bicycle system, I know we had discussed the places where there's not literally bike lanes, but it's actually a sharrow. And there's been some email back and forth. I know I had an email that I responded to recently that was something that was going to be looked at in more and reviewed more thoroughly by the transportation study or something. But they did at least acknowledge that, yes, that map does need some updating, but it's going to require more than just fixing the map. It's a more comprehensive piece of work that can be done.
Jeremy, then that would take care of the rest of them then. So.
Okay.
Anything else?
I had a question on TR 20-11 on page 19, number 5. Are they putting a signal in at 53rd and 108th, or is that what I'm understanding?
H19.
Which item number, Brian?
Number 5.
TR 20-11.5.
Number 5, 53rd and 108th?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It just says new signals or signal improvements. I didn't know if they were planning on putting a signal in there or not.
Yeah, every Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what appears to be the case.
Interesting.
That's not a change, though, to the plan that is existing.
Well, there were some improvements because they added that.
Well, there was testimony during the sewer.
That was
update
the
from the transportation engineer because the 53rd got an F on its traffic grading, and they said that would not be improved and there would not be a signal in there. And I could call Brian because I missed that. So
because I noticed 5, 7, and 9 are all in Houghton, so I wanted to make sure I reviewed those.
Again, those are not changes to the
actually sixes.
Those are not
as well.
Changes to the plan, but we can find out more information about that.
Yeah. And maybe next meeting report back, because that'd be a big yippee.
Yeah.
Just, it just, it would make a really big impact traffic flow wise right there on 108 to have any type of signal, or if that designates that they, maybe they'll put a flashing sidewalk in. I don't know what that means.
We don't get those anymore, right?
No.
Well, let's rather than take any more meeting time up, unless you guys, Eric, are you saying that you'll get back to us on that?
Sure.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
About the whole thing?
Well, that's next. Would anyone care to move for approval of Resolution 2013-1?
I was still a little bit confused looking back at our minutes from November 8th and the motion to recommend the removal of the word residential from residential scale and design, and I didn't see that that had been done. And it's now on page, just a second, I've got it.
That was
here.
That was not done by council.
Oh, so council didn't
agree. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we didn't just let that slip by. It was on page 110 in our current packet. 10 and...
I was at that council meeting, and my recollection is, unless I'm not remembering correctly, that during our meeting with the Planning Commission, we said we would prefer, but we could live with what the Planning Commission said, and this was essentially the Planning Commission's language.
Correct.
Okay.
So, and I can tell you what happened after that if you'd care for the gory details. So the Planning Commission recommended that back to City Council. When it came back to City Council for adoption, they had two issues with it. One is that they were surprised that the Planning Commission was going back in and editing the definition. You recall the Planning Commission had already made their recommendation on it. Mm-hmm. But particularly since that wasn't a public hearing and some of the neighbors of the Patala site were upset that, wait a minute, if you were striking residential from that, we would like to have been there. So that was one issue with it the council had. And the other was they disagreed with the Planning Commission's notion that it dictated residential design of a commercial building. They thought it was more about the scale, trying to match up to the scale of the surrounding neighborhood. So council had two reasons for not accepting the Planning Commission's latter recommendation on it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that didn't just slip by without us kind of assuming that everything that we had talked about had actually happened.
I'm assuming that you aren't, this doesn't rise to the point where you propose
No.
Good. No. So back to my
that
previous.
That explanation is useful, just to have that information.
I appreciate that.
So we don't later come back and go, hey, wait a minute, didn't we say this, and how come it wasn't?
Yeah.
Then we know.
So would anyone care to move for the adoption of Resolution 2013-1, approving ordinances 4388 and 4389?
I move to approve.
Okay, it's been moved by Brian and seconded. Any further discussion? Further discussion. All in favor of Resolution 2013-1, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Passes unanimously.
And Rick, may I just note that while you do need to say three times, are there any other nominations? I don't need to think you need
Well, I'm just trying to cover my bases. Okay.
Yeah.
We thought you were practicing your auctioneer techniques.
Maybe.
Ordinance 4399, nonconforming density. We all know what this is. Eric, you're going to make a presentation?
I will make a brief description. This was originally part of a package of zoning code amendments that were adopted mid to late. And at the time, the city, well, you may recall, this all came about through the Lakeview Plan and the concern about condominiums being restricted from, I think some of the concerns were maintenance or remodeling, but certainly redevelopment. And so.
And true to your word, you promised that you would bring it back, and damn it, you did.
And here we are. So the Planning Commission, and you had reviewed what the Planning Commission was recommending before. And I would characterize it as more modest than what ultimately the City Council did, which is what you've got here. City Council held it back, said, well, let's take a closer look at it. They couldn't get to it for a few months, so it took some time to get here. But ultimately what they adopted was a really straightforward statement that
says that if you've got a structure with non-conforming density, you can rebuild it, you can remodel it, you can maintain it. It doesn't quite say that, but you can basically do all those things as long as you conform with other zoning restrictions.
Yeah.
So you're kind of basically grandfathers that non-conforming density for the future.
Right.
So that's what this ordinance basically
but
does.
But it's not dependent on it staying in that one owner's ownership?
No. No, it has nothing to do with that. Right.
Any questions?
So the surrounding, so the underlying zoning stays the same.
Correct.
But these buildings will just continue being non-conforming for.
Right.
Yep. So just trying to make sure that I've covered all the potential bases. If the building, let's say somebody just decides they're going to raise the building completely, do something completely different, then the underlying density would come into effect, or is this saying no, even then
still, they could rebuild if let's say the zoning says they can have 10 units, but they've actually got 12 from a previous time. They can build back with those 12 units if they wish to do that.
So they could sell it to somebody
subject to all of the
bulk and height.
Anything. Yeah,
that's right.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I realize all of that.
Yeah.
Wanting to make it really clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't cause any like neighbors on the other side going, well, we can only have 10 people. If, you know,
well,
no guarantees
we'll
on that.
We'll find out. Maybe someday.
Okay.
But the only
it's grandfathered
feedback that I've seen was
that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's what we were arguing for. It's already living at that density, and it seems to be working. And so
there's nobody up in arms about
it. Any other questions?
It seems fine. Yep.
The chair would entertain.
Motion. I move that we approve ordinance 04399.
Would that be 4399? It's been moved?
99, yes.
Okay.
Second.
And it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor of Ordinance 4399, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Good. Now we move to new business.
Yeah.
Eric.
Yep.
What's this all about?
Fess up. How is it that you guys didn't think that this was this Section 8 voucher issue was something that was to be subject to our jurisdiction?
Well, I ran it by the city attorney and pretty much what you told me. I mean, I've got the sections of the state statute and the municipal code, which don't list this sort of thing. So, you know, you're welcome to make, but obviously you are welcome to make a recommendation to the city council and the like. But in Robin's opinion, this does not fall within the disapproval jurisdiction of the community
council. So what does that mean, Eric? If the city attorney thinks this does not fall under our purview, is the city council just going to say go pound sand? I mean, what happens?
I don't know what the city council is going to say. It depends on what you say to the city council. I mean, if you were to say we strongly object to this and we... I don't know what else. I don't know why I put words in your mouth, but you maybe there's two issues here. One is whether or not you don't like the ordinance would be one thing. The other question is whether or not you have jurisdiction. Now, the issue of jurisdiction is a legal question. The city council can't dictate that one way or the other. It would be ultimately decided if it ever got there in a court of law. But the council could, for example, pass an ordinance that said, well, this won't be effective
in Houghton.
In the Houghton.
Right.
You know, they can certainly do that. But if they were to just pass the ordinance without doing that, then there would be this, I guess the burden would be on you ultimately or somebody to challenge its application outside or in the jurisdiction of Houghton.
We never had this happen since I've been on the council, but I mean, my personal opinion would be that if we have this disagreement and we can't resolve it amicably, I would say that there's nothing to stop us from taking action and stating that we disapprove it, and then it just comes down to who's if subsequently somebody within Houghton has an issue with this particular ordinance, then they have an additional support for their position because we have taken a position of disapproval, and whether or not, I mean, that would just be supportive for their case if it were to go to court.
Right.
If we hope it would never get that far, but I mean, that I don't see why we couldn't at least take that action. And I don't see us expending, getting in a big legal fight with the city over it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not productive, right. But at least we could take that position. And then it's just, if it's a big enough issue for somebody, they at least have our position mm-hmm. on it. And that could only help them if, mm-hmm. as something. So that was kind of where I was coming, if we don't agree with the action the city's taking. So.
Right. So.
Yes, Betsy.
Well, I guess I'm just somewhat curious, is this a different class of, I mean, does it not fall under land use, or does it not, and does it not fall under zoning? Is it coming under some other?
It's just part of the municipal code, and I don't know exactly. Well, I should know. Here's the ordinance. What section of municipal code it falls under, but it's looks like chapter 7 of the municipal code, and it's a section on really rent. You know, it's basically saying that there are people, landlords are prohibited from discriminating in renting their units out on the basis of Section 8 vouchers.
And so we typically don't have anything to do with that sort of.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds like a transactional.
To me doesn't sound like
parties rather than something
land use or zoning to me. It's.
I disagree. It's how you can use your property. You're saying that you cannot deny a rental. If you choose to rent your property, then you can't not rent to somebody who's in the Section 8 program.
Is that what that means?
You cannot deny them on that basis.
That's
right. And that's absolutely a land use issue, in my opinion. Hmm. So, and I don't want to get in a big hog wrestle with the city. I really don't.
How is that a land use issue?
How you're using your property.
But if you are a property owner and you charge X numbers amount for rent, whether or not that rent is coming from the person who's paying it or coming from some other source, how is that our business?
It makes a very big difference, because should something happen with the financial traction through the Section 8 program and you don't get your rent, you don't have a recourse to evict a renter based on non-payment. They're two different things.
I'm sure that's not true. I don't think
that's true, John. That there's no statement that if they don't pay, you can't. There's all sorts of reasons you can deny someone, whether it's Section 8 or otherwise, and certainly not paying rent is one of those things that you can evict somebody for.
Right.
It's the fact that you cannot say that I'm not going to rent to you, or in this particular, it's leasing to you, because of the source of your rental payment. It does have anything to do with how much you charge in rent, because the Section 8 organization will determine whether or not they're qualified for that amount of rent and so forth. And if they can't afford the rent you're charging, then they won't be able to use their Section 8 voucher. But if it is an amount of rent that they can afford and they qualify for, then you can't deny them. I mean, if this passed, then you wouldn't be able to.
So it's not dictating the price by any means. It's just
not at all.
Where the source of money would come from.
So I don't understand why we would care about that.
Let me, and I come from, I want to ask a few questions of Eric, and asking those questions I hope will help give you some point of view, because this is what I've been doing for the last 30 plus years.
Okay.
So I have a point of view that I think I'd like to be considered here. And so the first question I have, Eric, is why is this ordinance necessary? I went to the, just so you know, there was a city sponsored meeting last week, and that's how I first, you know, heard that this thing was moving along. And at that meeting, apparently what initiated this process, to my knowledge, is that in Redmond, a large national property management company decided on a national basis to discontinue renting to people who were in the Section 8 program. And that meant that at this one Redmond property, 12 people had to move out because they were on Section 8 and they were not going to long. And so Redmond got upset. That initiated Redmond adopting this ordinance to ban denying people based on Section 8. And then that then became kind of an impetus for Kirkland to do the same. Is that correct?
That's right.
In a nutshell?
Kirkland is part of the Arch group, and so when things happen in one Arch city and we find out about it,
right.
Something we talked to our City Council Housing Committee about 8 months ago, even something like that. They said, well, they were interested in exploring that. So
okay,
that's where it came from, and brought it to the city council late last year. And they said, well, let's do a little more public outreach. And then, of course, we had that meeting the other night. And
yeah,
coming back in February.
Let me ask, this was a question that was asked at the meeting that they didn't have an answer for, and I don't know if you've had a chance to get to it, but do you know roughly how many rental housing units there are in Kirkland, and of those, how many don't accept Section 8 renters simply because they're on the Section 8 program?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Do you have any knowledge of any incidents that have occurred in Kirkland in recent years?
I've heard of none.
That I don't relate to this issue?
No, I've heard of none.
That's kind of what I thought. And some of the proponents had that one of the basis for supporting this was that it was going to benefit affordable housing in Kirkland. How would this increase the supply of affordable housing?
I don't think it would directly increase the overall supply. It would just increase the, increase the accessibility of the existing supply to those who have Section 8 vouchers. Maybe increase is not the right word. It would prevent those units that are affordable to the Section 8 qualifying individuals, prevent those from being taken, from them not having access to rent those units.
It doesn't in any way affect the supply of affordable housing in Kirkland. It only improves the accessibility for a specific class of people, but it doesn't increase affordable housing in any way.
I think that's correct, yeah.
Okay. At the public meeting, I was stricken by I only asked one question at the meeting, and that was I asked if everybody by show of hands would show me, of the people there, how many currently or previously have owned residential rental property in Kirkland. There were 27 people at the meeting. 2 people were people who actually owned residential rental housing. It was overwhelmingly populated by advocates for the Section 8 program. And I look at I don't know if you saw Karen Levinson's remarks, but there was very inadequate notice. And so the opportunity for people who this is affecting most, the people who own and rent property, that, you know, that should have been the target for this outreach, and it didn't happen.
Well, it was targeted. In fact, the notice to the people who we had information for about, people who own property and the like, was sent out earlier. What we didn't do is, and Dawn realized at the last minute, she didn't get the notices out to the mailing list, the people on the neighborhood list. I don't know what the name of the listserv is, but it's not the housing, people who own and rent housing. That notice went out a couple of weeks ahead of time. It was the people who are on the more neighborhood-oriented mailing list that we did not give the notice for until like the day before, 2 days before the meeting. So, but she has put out more information, invited more comments, and we may even have another meeting if there's interest in doing that.
I would sure hope to see that. I'd like to see more opportunity for input from people who are the most affected, i.e. the property owners themselves. Just to give you my perspective on this, I don't see the city considering or giving as much credence to the impacts to the property owners in this ordinance. And I've been in this business a long time. Section 8's a good program. I am not in any way trying to diss the program. But it does have pros and cons, and it's a program that if you are an astute manager, it can work really well for you. But if you are not an experienced property manager, then it can be a very problematic for you. if you aren't doing a good job of screening your people and then you get people in who are problems, and that can happen whether they're Section 8 or not. But I will say that in the universe of residents, you have more good than bad in Section 8, but out of all tenants, there's no question that you have a higher proportion of problem tenants within Section 8 than you do the non-Section 8. That's just reality. I'm not saying that they're bad people. There's just a higher percentage of them, and so you've got to be very careful, because once you have people in, it's really time-consuming and expensive to try to evict a problem tenant. And what people don't understand, and I did make this comment at the meeting the other night, is as a landlord, my greater concern is the people who are the neighbors to the Section 8 tenants. They're the ones that are in the front lines, and they are the ones that have to put up with the problem behavior. They're, when people are causing noise problems, they're partying, they're, I mean, I can, there's just, it goes on and on, some of the problems I've had. I've had people kick in other people's windows because they thought that it was the apartment of this Section 8, but instead it wasn't. It was some innocent person right next to them. They kicked in their window thinking that it was the, I mean, it's just crazy stuff that happens. Now, this is anecdotal, but these are problems that you have to deal with, and it's the people who live right next to them, they're the ones that suffer the most. It's not the landlord. You know, I've got, if I've got a 100-unit apartment property and I've got one problem tenant, it's not a huge deal. I can deal with it. I can go through the process of eviction. It's expensive and time-consuming, but it's those people who have to live with them for a couple of months while I'm trying to get them out that have the biggest problems. And that's my biggest concern as a landlord. One of the things that the Section 8 program requires is that you have to have a one-year lease in Section 8. I only rent on a month-to-month basis for the very reason that if I have problem tenants, to protect their neighbors, I want to be able to get rid of them without having to go through an extended justification to a judge that their behavior is in violation of the lease agreement in order to have them removed. Because frankly, the courts are very supportive of the tenants, much more so than landlords. And so you can't have that. If you're forced to take Section 8, you're stuck. You've got to put up with them for a year unless you can somehow convince a judge that their behavior is egregious enough that they should be evicted. And it's not an easy process. So those are the issues. The other thing that Section 8 used to have a process where if somebody left an apartment damaged or left owing rent, Section 8 would pay up to 2 months of whatever their monthly rent was towards any damages. The program guaranteed it. They discontinued that a few years ago. Now, if you have a Section 8 tenant, then it's your problem. If they move out and leave your place trashed, good luck collecting the money. Because by their nature, by definition, if you're in the Section 8 program, you have credit problems. You don't have the income to be able to pay for those problems when you move out. The city is trying to force a landlord to deal with that. Now, if you're an astute landlord, you have a lot of units, you can deal with it. But if you're a single-family homeowner or maybe a duplex, fourplex, I think it's completely out of line. I don't like it at all that the city's trying to force people. It's a business decision. There's pros and cons to the program, and it should be a business decision on whether or not somebody is willing to take a Section 8. And most people do, because frankly, it's an easier way to rent your apartments. You have a larger market to draw from if you are renting to Section 8 people, and then sometimes you can actually get a higher rent. But it should be the landowner's decision on whether or not they're going to make that business decision, because there are pros and cons. It should not be something that is a dictate of government. That's where I come out on this thing. So I think it's a big mistake to do it at all, and absolutely unacceptable to force it upon every person who rents residential property in Kirkland. And I will fight it, personally.
But that's where I'm still confused. I mean, I totally hear your argument and I understand it, and it doesn't really feel like land use, and it doesn't, I mean, it just, again, it sounds like
it's in municipal code, it's not in zoning code.
It doesn't seem like something that...
Have we ever had things in front of us that are changes in municipal code that are not part of... I'm trying to sort that out with what we're charged with.
Well, the only other thing that comes into the... Well, the zoning code is a section of the municipal code.
Right, but this is not... this is not a section of the municipal code that is within the land. That's what I'm trying to sort out.
Right, well, here's what...
Renting is certainly within land use.
Here's what the statute says. It lists a comprehensive plan, zoning ordinance, conditional use permit, special exception or variance, subdivision ordinance, subdivision plat, plan unit development. Those are the things that are listed in... that's RCW 35-14-040.
Yeah.
If I could, maybe a couple of comments. So, number one, I want to jump back to our council and having a possible difference with the city council. We've tried very hard over the past few years to try and get in sync with the city council, still exercising our rights, but to work together with as opposed to causing friction. And I want to continue on that path.
Yeah.
Very, very strongly continue on that path. I want to have a good working relationship with the city council. With that said, Eric, and or Rick, of this potential proposal, what about it might be, it's a simple issue of whether or not it comes into Houghton or not. Is that your contention? Or is it, from your standpoint, a city issue?
Well, no, we don't have jurisdiction outside of Houghton. So I certainly don't presume to. I would like to see as a city, I think it's a mistake for the city to do, but that's beyond my, beyond our scope. So I would like to see us recommend that they don't approve it, but if they're going to approve it, if they can exclude Houghton, that would be best. And then if they still don't want to exclude Houghton, that at a minimum, they should be excluding the small property owners.
Okay. So I guess in that vein...
I just need to go back and kind of make sure that I... Because, Eric, you sort of rattled off that stuff really fast, and I'm sort of a visual person. I need to see it in front of me. So what I was trying to understand is, within the municipal code, there are parts of that municipal code, including zoning, comprehensive, all, that we have jurisdiction over.
Yes.
Is the change that this is proposing to make within one of those sections that we have jurisdiction over?
It is not within... Well, I don't play a lawyer on TV.
Right. And I'm guessing this is where the attorney reading
is. I talked to
our
city attorney about
right.
this, just asked this question straight up, mm-hmm. and she came over and said, no, this does not apply.
So this is going to be applied to a part of the municipal code that is outside of...
That was her opinion
okay.
on that. But I'm hearing yes, Rick again. Take mm-hmm. exception to that, and so I don't want to argue the point yeah. here in front
no.
of him. Am I just saying that the message I got from... My colleague, my
Robin,
city
yeah.
attorney, was that this was not within the jurisdiction of Houghton Community Council.
So what is the process now on this? So what is the process? Because it sounds like Rick has some strong objections, and it sounds like, so where does it go from here? Is there a public hearing coming up? I mean, what is the public process?
There's not a hearing. The idea of this meeting that Rick mentioned that he attended was to kind of get opportunity for public involvement up front. We're taking also letters and the like. Now, I believe it's on February 19th that the City Council will be taking up the ordinance, not necessarily the hearing. At this point, it's not scheduled as a hearing.
So ordinances don't need to go through a hearing?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
No. So prior to February 19th, the Community Council could, if it chose, to offer a recommendation to the Council or to put the council on notice that you thought that it was within your jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. I don't know, whatever you want to
Has
do.
Planning Commission chimed in on this?
No, we haven't taken this to the Planning Commission.
Is the Planning Commission going to be having this taken to them?
No. Again, we wouldn't
do
that.
See, that's where,
see, this is where I'm having a problem, is that the City Council is not having a public hearing and it's just imposing this. That's where I have a problem. I'm not sure that we are necessarily the jurisdiction to step in.
But that process, I have a problem
yeah.
with for sure, because that does affect.
If let me suggest this: if you think that my comments have merit, then we could at least say that it is our recommendation to the council that they do not approve this ordinance at all, and if they do choose to approve it in some form, that they absolutely exclude small property owners. And that would be, to me, the minimum acceptable, and preferably exclude Houghton. And then whether or not they choose to do that, then it's up to us whether we do anything.
Well, I think we should define small property owners. I mean, if we were going to do that, then I would want to define small property
yeah.
owners, and I would want to present them with something that feels reasonable. I think I'm more concerned about the process that they are going through and the lack. I mean, if there's just one meeting, I mean, I certainly wasn't noticed of this meeting, so
yeah.
I don't think it was well noticed. Maybe some letters.
Ryan, it sounds to me similar to like a discrimination type issue. You can't can't deny somebody rent because of their ethnicity or whatever. It sounds like you can't deny them rent based on if the funding comes from this source.
Actually, you can, both nationally and statewide. It is absolutely, okay. yeah.
I mean, similar. I mean, that's
no,
all.
No, it's really not. It's not a discrimination issue.
Okay.
The source of funding is not it's not subject to.
Is it something that you're allowed to ask on the application as to where the funding
absolutely.
Is coming from?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that would be the purpose of this ordinance. The effect of this ordinance would be you can't. You cannot deny somebody a rent to rent to them if their source of funding is Section 8. You can't
question,
do it.
Because you say you rent month to month, and that's your rules in your building.
Right.
But Section 8 requires the one-year lease, and so if you don't know this person is Section 8, because you can't, and then you rent to them.
Talking about me personally, or are you talking about concept?
It sounds like you only do month-to-month rentals. They're requiring a year. So how is that going to be resolved?
For me, it doesn't matter because I'm not in Kirkland. My property is in Olympia.
But I mean, pretend like you were.
If I was in Kirkland?
Yeah, I mean, if you had that month-to-month rental in your building.
The only if you consistently had a requirement on all your properties that you would only accept month-to-month rentals only,
yeah.
then I think you may, on that basis, be able to deny it because they only have a one-year lease issue. The problem with that is probably 95% of the people who are in the rental business, they definitely rent for at least a 6 to 12 month term. It's just good business. Typically,
yeah.
most people are uncomfortable with a month-to-month
yeah.
rental term. They want to have the assurance that if somebody rents, they're going to rent for a longer period of time, and they're not going to leave after a month or two. I have enough confidence in my own properties and the way I run them that I'm willing to take that risk. I don't worry because I know that I'm going to take care of people. But most people don't. The vast, vast majority of people. In fact, you can even have financing problems if you don't have longer-term rentals. So it is almost everybody is going to have long-term rentals. So it's not going to be a basis for somebody to deny it.
Can you deny the renter for any other reason if
Absolutely.
They have Section 8 funding? So it's not that you're handcuffed where you have to accept them. It's just that you can't deny it based on solely just the funding issue.
Probably that, just end up with a bunch of landlords lying. Well,
I mean, if you called one of their references and they had terrible references, but they were
yeah.
Section 8, you could
Absolutely.
Still deny them.
Yeah,
it's not being forced down your throat that you have to take them as a tenant.
That's
is that right,
Brian? There are other bases. Yeah, you certainly can deny them on other bases, but you're not considering the fact that these people. The point I made about the deposit: if somebody moves out, you're stuck. If they leave your place trashed, you're not going to be able to collect on it.
So Section 8 doesn't give you like first and last month's
no.
rent?
No. In fact, one of the biggest challenges with a Section 8 tenant is that they frequently have difficulty coming up with a deposit. And oftentimes they'll get funding assistance on the deposit from DSHS or churches or other sources. They just don't, they're living, you know, on a, you know,
hand to mouth,
essentially. And so they don't have the ability to pay for damages that they caused to your apartment, almost invariably. That's the reality. And to force somebody to accept them is just, that's wrong. It's a business decision that landlord should be able to make.
What I'd like to do, Rick, is just kind of get a straw poll to find out where everybody is in relationship to grab a hold of this, of your banner. And then the second part to that would be if we do hold on to Rick's banner, if we want to make some sort of statement that can get up to City Council to say we would like, or we have an issue, or we have, or we want, or something like that.
We can recommend on anything, even if we don't have jurisdiction.
Well, I understand that, but before we even get to that point,
right,
I want to see who's kind of grabbing onto Rick's banners, and maybe a straw poll would do that.
Yeah, good point.
Well, it depends on what Rick's banner is. But how would you?
My banner would be, you asked about defining small owners, okay. And to me, it's probably a simple thing would be for financing purposes, there's a distinction made. Fourplexes and under are considered one class, and anything above a fourplex is considered a different, it's more like commercial property. Mm-hmm. So I think the simple thing would just follow that standard and just say anybody that is renting any property that is a fourplex or smaller in size, most notably being the single family homes, that's my biggest concern, mm-hmm, that they would be exempt from this as small property owners. My preference would be that we don't adopt it at all. Mm-hmm. That's for the reasons that I stated, but at a minimum, exclude the small property owners would be my, and exclude Houghton. So.
And to say something to the City Council about it.
Make a recommendation to the City Council that as Houghton Community Council, we recommend that they do not approve this. In fact, what I would propose is that we make a recommendation that they don't approve this ordinance. But if they feel compelled to approve it, that at a minimum they exclude property owners of fourplexes or less, and we would like to see them exclude Houghton.
Well, would you be willing to, as a private citizen and a property manager, write a letter explaining?
I did that 2 years ago to them, and I'll do it. I will do it again.
I would say yeah, do it again, and sure. Because I don't know where this came from. I mean, if council brought this forward, then they're going to be advocating for it. And
sure.
So I think that anything that, I mean, if you have evidence, if you have real figures, you know, I mean, it's hard for me to believe that. You know, it does sound discriminatory to me, but I mean, if you have hard figures that this really is true, that Section 8 people trash apartments more than other people, and they disturb people more than other people, and those things that you are
making. Even if they were even, which and that isn't the crux of my argument. The crux of it is that they are, without question, by definition, less capable of paying for the damages they cause. That's a given. And there's no way, nobody's guaranteeing that. The city's forcing you to accept them, but nobody's guaranteeing it. If you, as a landlord, wanted to say, well, I'm only going to accept these people somebody's going to guarantee the payment for the damages, mm-hmm, fine, but nobody's going to do it. It used to be that, as I said, the program used to have that provision, but it got so expensive.
Yeah.
To the government that they discontinued it.
Well, I mean, I think that's your strong argument is that it is a financial hardship to the property owner because they're, you know, that's making an exception.
Yeah.
That all the other
good business practice.
I mean, all the other renters are responsible for that money and that there's a way of getting it, or maybe they have to pay first and last month's rent. So that's more than just not denying somebody housing because they're in Section 8, that's where I see your argument, is that it's a special exception that these people are not having to have to take,
right,
the same responsibility that the other renters do, and that's where it hurts you. So I can see how that's a strong argument.
That's the strongest argument, and the other issue, as I said, is the difficulty of getting, reality, it's difficult to get problem people out, and again, I'm saying it's more of a concern for the people who live right next door to them.
Yeah.
That's reality. So.
Well, from my standpoint, I think it's more basic than that. It's just the issue of
it's a requirement. Mm-hmm. That's the part that I just have a bit of a rub with, is
yeah.
one more piece of legislation the government's telling me that I have to do this. Mm-hmm. So I can grab a hold of that flag with you. I agree with everything you're saying. I do think it is kind of a land use issue. I'm just not sure this is one holding the sword and up and jumping on it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I understand that, but I'd sure like to see us at least make a recommendation.
Well, let's take a straw poll on that real quick. Necessarily no actionable vote or anything, but let's just see if this needs to be further discussed.
Yeah. So all who would be supportive of making a recommendation to City Council to either not approve the ordinance or at a minimum approve it only for properties that are larger than fourplexes, raise your right hand.
Well, I think there's bigger issues, but yeah, I would.
Well, that's okay. What, yeah. Betsy?
Well, I mean, I just think the process issue, I don't.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I'm just saying that if this is scheduled for a vote next month,
right.
this is our last opportunity to do anything to influence it.
Yeah.
Well, so the big.
Okay, except that my understanding is that our jurisdiction has veto power over decisions that are made that do have effect in Houghton if we choose to exempt those zoning and land use changes in the jurisdiction of Houghton, then we have the power to veto decisions that are made by Kirkland City Council. So if we do in fact have power in this case, we would have that power to do so. And I personally am not convinced that this is an issue that we should be even taking up. It doesn't, I mean, we've got the city attorney's read. I would like to have more information before I were to proceed to even pick up the flag or the sword or whatever it is that we're picking up.
Okay. Well, you didn't raise your hand, but the other four did.
So to make it really simple, maybe what we should do is just ask whether or not this bears further discussion, and if we don't get enough traction on that, we need to stop discussing it.
Well, I just made a proposal that four people raise their hand in support of.
Okay.
So I would like to, I can't make a motion, but I would entertain a motion that we make a recommendation to the City Council that they not approve the ordinance, and that if they choose to approve an ordinance of this nature, that at a minimum, it excludes small property owners of fourplexes or less.
Or four units, or because they're not just fourplexes. Somebody could own four houses or two houses.
No, but any property that is of that size, if it's an individual, even if somebody owns four houses or something, we're just saying people who own houses, duplexes, fourplexes, those are small property owners. It's a different class. They're not typically astute professional property managers compared to the people who have large apartment properties, and that's what I'm saying. It's a different animal, and it's a much more of a burden for small property owners who are less management experienced.
So, let me get this right. Does Seattle have this ordinance? Does Seattle have this?
I think Seattle,
Redmond,
and Bellevue and Redmond do.
Bellevue and Redmond have
the ordinance. And Redmond just passed it.
So if they're not astute, would they even know what Section 8 would be? I mean, if they were a small property owner and they weren't astute, like you were saying, would they even know what the Section 8 funding would be in the first place? And if they do know, my only thought would be if you did know that it was Section 8 funding and you didn't want to have this tenant, there would be some other reason at least, other than where the funding source is coming from, that you wouldn't want to have them as a tenant. I mean,
it should be their choice. That's my point, Brian. It should right. be their.
So it sounds like they're trying to essentially legislate a protected class.
Yeah. And the worst part of it is, as I was posing the questions, is that this is all being done on kind of a gut reaction to one property management company that was a bad actor, in my opinion. I think the way they handled it was completely wrong. They never should have taken that action. If you've got tenants that have been good tenants, you don't evict them. You just say, we're not going to accept new Section 8 tenants. I've done that on some properties, and that's the smart thing to do. They've been good. Why the heck would you evict people who've been perfectly good? But this one company took that action, then that created the problem that forced, that caused the action that Redmond took and now Kirkland is pursuing. It's one anecdotal incident. There's not this evident, there's not this clear, compelling reason to pass this ordinance. That's the problem. And why do
that's
we...
That's a good argument, too. It's like we it's like, don't trouble, you know? Why introduce this if there, it's not a problem?
Yeah. So.
So if, in fact, we're going to do this, we need to have some very clear verbiage to send.
Okay. I, once again, will entertain... The chair would entertain a motion to the City Council that we recommend they do not pass this ordinance requiring Section 8 to be essentially a protected class, whatever, however the ordinance is worded. So we're recommending that they do not pass it. And if they do choose to pass an ordinance of this nature, that at a minimum it excludes small property owners being defined as any properties that are fourplexes or smaller. That's about as simple as I can make it.
And that you will, and you will spell out some reasons so that...
Oh, I'll definitely go and testify. In fact, I'll probably just talk to some people. You know, I didn't really have the time to do it, and I didn't want to do
anything. I think having all the... You know, because I don't want to sound like, you know, it sounds discriminatory, but, you know, listening to your reasons, you know, it sounds like there are some valid reasons. I'm still concerned about the whole process issue and the way it's being handled.
Yeah.
So I hope that you will address.
Oh, I will, for sure.
Okay.
Anyway, I would entertain a motion to that effect.
I do not want to be the one who gets
I'll second the motion.
Somebody has to make the motion.
John, make the motion.
Oh, I can't. So
where's Bill when I need him? Bill Goggins would be all over this.
Well, I know.
Eric, do you happen to know the ordinance number that this is under?
Yes. Let's see. Well, this would be ordinance 4384.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to move that the Houghton Community Council recommends to the City of Kirkland City Council to not pass ordinance 4384 regarding Section 8, required Section 8 payment for rental housing. If they do choose to pass it, we would like to recommend they add a friendly amendment to exclude fourplexes or smaller residential properties.
Yeah, what's that called, Rick? You said it was a special... Like small business, small house.
I just said small property owners, small property to owners. Be defined as any property that is a fourplex or smaller, you know, down to a single family.
So I'll restate that second paragraph or second sentence. If they do choose to pass it, we would like to ask them to exclude smaller property owners, including fourplexes, threeplexes, twoplexes, and single family dwelling units.
And individual condos.
And individual condominiums.
Yeah. All right. John has made that motion. Would somebody be so kind as to second it?
I will second it.
Thank you, Brian. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All in favor of making this recommendation to the City Council, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Let the record show that...
I'm abstaining.
Abstaining. I kind of saw that, Laura. Okay. Yeah, just, and so the motion passes, and just, I just realized I had brought this copy of the ordinance, and they do have in here that if somebody is renting, sub-renting, leasing, or subleasing a portion of a single-family dwelling where the owner maintains a permanent residence, then they're excluded. In other words, if you're renting out a portion of your place, well, then you don't have to be forced to take Section 8 tenants if you're living there and renting out part of your place. Well, that is not very, I mean, that's a, and they represented at the meeting, and frankly, I didn't call them on it, that single family homes weren't included, but this is their exemption for single family homes, and it isn't. It's an exemption for renting a portion of a single family home, and so they're kind of misrepresenting that. So, at any rate, it showed that they at least recognized that there was some circumstances that maybe should be excluded, and so we're saying to broaden that.
Do you happen to know if the city of Redmond is as all-inclusive as the proposed ordinance for Kirkland?
I believe it's the same. It's pretty much the same as the Redmond ordinance. I think it was, yeah.
I think she said that they modeled it after the Redmond ordinance.
It would be nice to know what kind of problems, if any, Seattle has had.
It'd be nice to know what problems Kirkland has had.
All right.
That causes us to bring this motion or bring this ordinance to. Okay.
Broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. Okay, so with that, we move on to John's discussion on the East Bellevue Community Council.
So it boils down to a simple question. There are the East Bellevue Community Council is a 5-member board. Not a 6-member, or not a 7-member board. And the members of that group would like to tour our jurisdictional boundaries and discuss some of the big land items that are before us as a hint of how they may deal with some of their land issues that are upcoming in this so-called neighborhood planning updates that they'll be doing. And again, I know them well because my property is within their jurisdiction, so I actually go to their meetings and I find out what they're doing and that sort of thing. I went on their tour, or was invited on their tour as a business owner, and have offered to take them around and show them the area. So the question for you all is, does this council want to participate in a like exchange with that community council to discuss issues, very important issues on our neighborhood planning, how we dealt with them, answer their questions, to get to understand them a little better so we could work together together better in the future? Or is this something that you would simply like John Cowper to drive him around and point out our neighborhood?
I like that.
Either way, I really am okay either way, but I need to ask. So, and if only one of you wants to go, then we don't have a quorum and we don't have to notice it. So, whatever.
Anybody would like to join John in this little...
Assuming Rick doesn't.
I have no interest in being part of this.
I have found our meetings with the East Bellevue Community Council to be informative and just a great way to get some different perspective on how the only other community council in the state besides us does business and what the lay of their land is like. So having not had the opportunity to go on their tour, I would still be interested, willing, depending on date and time and availability and that sort of thing. But
okay. Excellent.
I think the idea of making it something, if the entire council is not, you know, gung-ho to make this a, because we've had joint meetings with their council, and if there's no interest in that level, I'd certainly be willing just to have it be something that a less than quorum group, so that we don't have to make an announcement of it as a...
Well, can we discuss issues if it's not a noticed meeting and the public's not involved? I mean,
if there's not a quorum,
yeah, if we don't have 4 people,
yeah,
I mean, we can't discuss things that we typically can't discuss outside of meetings anyway, but we can certainly be informative and talk about
process and stuff.
Yeah.
I'll bet they'd like to have you on the process because you were such a big part of the neighborhood plan.
John was too.
So. Yeah. You two, I think, would be of great value.
Well, what they want is Dorian and Angela. They were the ones who did the work.
Yeah, true.
I mean, subject to time and place and date and all, I'm not doing it during a work day. Can't do it during a work day.
Okay.
And would prefer not to do it on a weekend.
Pretty much squeeze any time.
Plans on the weekends.
Holidays.
On a holiday?
Yeah, President's Day.
No, I don't get President's
Day off. If it was a leap year, maybe
you don't.
Day,
no.
Might be.
Okay. Well, anyway, John, does that give you the feedback you need?
Really.
It does. So essentially what I'll do is here's the bat time, here's the bat channel. If you want a bat show up, you can bat show up. If
okay.
not, don't.
Sounds good.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. And?
I'm not looking at this at all. The flyer.
Oh, that should have been under council member. Let's wait till Elsie's here and give her some attagirls for that. Okay. Any administrative reports? With that. Meeting adjourned. Thank you all.
Eric, thank you.
Thank
yeah,
you, Eric.
What a treat to have the big kahuna here.
I know it. It's been a long time.
You're so patient with us.
Yeah.
What could I do if I wasn't patient? Do I have a choice?
No. Well, wait for the recording to stop before we answer that, sir. Nancy, thank you for coming. It's nice to see you.
Yeah.
I think it might be a nice idea if you invited the city council out on a tour, because I'll bet you that the